welcome to Zion's Sunday Morning Worship, presented by 105-year-old Zion Lutheran Church of Silver Hill, Alabama, raising the call to worship the Lord Jesus Christ in Baldwin County. We are a church of the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, which grew out of Norwegian Lutheran Pietism more than a century ago. God's call to worship is simple and straightforward. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's Psalm 29, verse 2. You and I are not worthy to come into the presence of our Heavenly Father. Believers from the very early days of worship have confessed their sins, their inadequacies, and their decisions which have separated them from God. Lutherans share a public confession each Sunday morning. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we come for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, God promised us to hear this kind of prayer. Psalm 145, verses 17 through 20 explains, "The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy." When we worship together, we affirm the great doctrines and teachings of the historic church by reciting one of the creeds of the faith. The Apostles' Creed states, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen." Well, today's sermon is an interesting sermon because it's entitled "A Little Direction for Godly Living." And, you know, Lutherans talk about law and gospel, and a lot of times we put the law down and we look just for the God's grace and the gospel. But there are some things that are very helpful in the law. And the lesson that we have from Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12, has to deal with those things. And there is a little sermon outline in your bulletin if you want to use that. And you might want to have your Bibles open to Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's a little background to Isaiah. He was a prophet that lived about 2,700 years ago. The northern kingdom of Israel has been overrun by the Assyrians. Those Assyrians systematically dismantled that northern kingdom and shipped the pieces off to the various parts of the Assyrian Empire, including the people. Then Assyria moved on to the southern kingdom to do the same thing, and the southern kingdom was where Isaiah lived. Isaiah lived under the reigns of a number of Judean kings. He is the prophet that talked about the suffering Savior that would be Jesus. Well, those Jewish people saw suffering among their brothers and sisters in the northern kingdom and saw all of that kingdom basically end up in what is modern-day Iraq. They saw suffering as their own cities in the southern kingdom came under siege, and there was hardship and hunger and loss of life. The people of Judah were godly on the outside, but their hearts were not into worship of our Heavenly Father. Today's lesson in Isaiah looks at true worship and true honor of God. We will find that the form of religion is not what God desires. God wants change in our lives. He wants people to return to Him. Let's take a closer look at Isaiah 58, verses 6 through 12. The central question is this: how should we understand God's desires for His people? What does it take to be a follower of Jehovah God? And the big idea that comes out of this section in Isaiah is this: be a leader by letting God work in your life. Be God's person, we would say. Well, this lesson talks about liberty. It talks about fulfillment, and it talks about renewal. As you put those pieces together, we discover, however, that God is looking for His leadership in our lives. Well, let's begin with those things in life that shackle our friends and neighbors and our nation. What can you and I do? We're looking at verses 6 and 7, which give us our first point. Release those who are bound by the trials of life. Now, God is our maker. He could have designed His creation to be inhabited by slaves. He could have demanded performance and fatigue and heartache and doing His will. He could have required that each carry his own weight and not have fellowship or help for any other creature. But that's not what God did. Our Heavenly Father built liberty into His creation. Mankind has considerable freedom to do this or do that. Even in the matter of religion, God allows mankind to choose even the wrong gods. For those who choose our Father, God seeks compassion. Yes, honor God with the outward form of religion, things like feasts and fasts and things like that. But God desires that we go beyond the form of religion. Share the freedom we have with others who know God. Where wickedness abounds, do what you can to bring liberty. Where burdens are destroying fellowship and relationship, relieve those burdens. Help those who are locked in by life and who cannot share in God's gifts. Take responsibility to be a helper of the helpless. Don't look the other way. Remember Jesus talking about the Master in heaven, the King of heaven? What things heaven honor? Matthew 25, verses 35 through 40 explain. Jesus says, the King says, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer the King, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer, Jesus says, and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." Having things brings responsibility, you see, but it also opens up things for us. opportunities to love. Here's what John says in his first letter, John 3:17. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Well, here in Isaiah, we actually have God explaining what he desires of his people. Isaiah writes, is this not the fast that I, God, have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you are naked, that you cover him, when you see that, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost, to set them free to be the people that God desires them to be in the body of Christ, the church. We are a nation that has many things. We can be selfish and possessive. Is God asking us to give things up or asking us to look for opportunities? Opportunities to share because of the liberty he has granted. And where does the Lord Jesus fit into the equation here? Here's the point. Many people in the world are bound up in trials. Right here on the Gulf, during these trying times of oil slime and lost income and things like that, people are suffering. God calls on his people to work for release from the trial of life. Exercise your liberty by working blessing in the lives of others who need that blessing. Be God's leader where you are. You are God's person for these times. Well, you say, aren't the problems in this world a little too big for us? Can we really accomplish anything? Isaiah's answer is God's answer. A resounding no. God has a task for us. It may seem like a little task, but there's something that you and I can do. Well, that gets us to verses 8 and 9 here, which give us our second point. Allow God's hand to work in your life. Many of us remember camping with a real campfire. How many went camping with a real campfire? Before Coleman. We had a scout jamboree when I was a tenderfoot scout. That was a long, long time ago. It was up in Hartley's Field up in Minnesota. We planted 10 to 20,000 Norway pine in a huge field by hand, one tree at a time. No tractor, okay? In one week. I don't know how many kids were there, but there were a lot of us, but it was still a lot of work. We cooked over coals. You can't cook over flame if you want to control what you are cooking. If the coals weren't there, if you or your scouting buddy allowed the fire to go out, you had big time cooking problems and you got really well. Heaven help you if it was your task to watch the fire and it went out. No fire, then no coals, and no supper. No fire, no light, till light's out. You get the idea. Nothing to warm you in the morning when you come out of your sleeping bag. Sometimes you know how to keep the fire going. Look at Isaiah's imagery here. When you do what you can, you are like a campfire in the morning. When you are a helper of those who have no chance, you are like that morning campfire waiting for the chance to heat that first morning pot of coffee. And guess what? Do what is good. When you keep that fire going all night so it is ready in the morning, people will know you have done good. Isaiah is not talking about campfires, but he is talking about doing righteousness. When good gets done, look who keeps your backside covered. It is the Lord Himself. Isn't a good reason right there to do good? God honors those who honor His desires that people be blessed through us. God hears the prayers of the righteous. He hears us. He reveals His desires and His work on our behalf. God lets us know that He is there for you and me. God desires liberty for His people, and He honors all who work on behalf of those who are disenfranchised. Knowing God and God's desires brings success and joy. Malachi 4:2 explains, "But to you who fear my name," this is God talking, "the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves." God says, "You will succeed because I will provide what you need." Isn't that what you have a stall-fed calf for, to feed them and get them nice and plump? You know, God says that's what He'll do for His people. No honor for God, then no salvation for His people. Jesus explains in Matthew 13:15. You see, there is no success if we fail to honor God's plans. Jesus says, "For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them." Nothing ventured, nothing gained is what Jesus says. You got to start somewhere. Our Heavenly Father desires changed lives, changed people. God wants the same blessings in the lives of all people. Acts 10, verses 34 and 35. This is Peter talking. "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation who fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." Part of being a Christian is being righteous, doing good things. God's light requires our willingness to be God's person. Isaiah tells us, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning, your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard." You don't have to watch behind you to see that somebody's out to get you, because God will take care of you. "Then you shall call, and the Lord Himself will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, 'Here I am. I'm right here. Don't worry.'" Jesus Christ, the Father's dear Son, always sought out our Heavenly Father. He wanted His life to be in sync with the Father's. Jesus laid His life down for us, His brothers and sisters, because God wants to save people. He does that through working through people, through our leadership. Jesus was a people. He does that through working through people, people like you and me. Jesus Christ, the Father's dear Son, is the one that we can emulate or follow. Why is it so hard for you and me to recognize that God works through the lives of His people? Why can't we understand that fulfillment in life comes from our Heavenly Father, not from what we do or what we fail to do? Here's the point. You and I have the capability to shut God out of our lives. Isaiah wants us to understand, however, that we will not be complete in our spiritual lives unless we allow the hand of God access to our living. To be God's leader means allowing God to work through us. So we've talked about liberty and we've talked about fulfillment. What is it that God really wants you and me to be or do? How does our Heavenly Father want to renew the earth and its people? For God's people, it means, third point here, verses 10 through 12, be a beacon for God's renewed blessings. Now, this is a fun time of year. Dawn comes early, promising the sunrise soon. We love the sun, not the dark, not the night. Dawn is special because it is the end of night and the break of day. The coming of God into life of the earth through his people is like that. When righteous actions are seen in a godly life, that life gets bright. God will guide that life. God promises to guide the life of the person committed to him, the one who will honor God's goal for his or her life. Have you got a dry time in your life right now? Do righteousness, and it will not be dry. Do righteousness, and you will be strengthened in your spiritual life. Pursue God's righteousness in your spiritual life. Grow just like a garden that gets water in the heat of the summer. People committed to God's plan will find not only life, but renewal. Pursuing God's righteousness restores what has been broken. What has been wasted and lost to God's purposes will be renewed and restored to its original ministry. Committing to God's plan is an foundation in the church, and it shall always bring new growth. People will recognize that commitment. They will be identified because they have restored what has been broken. They will be identified because people will understand where to go to find God and how to dwell with him. You and I have a big responsibility when it comes to living a godly life, but if that life is lived according to God's design, there is blessing. Jeremiah 17:18 explains, "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and it will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding its fruit." Our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ sent his Holy Spirit to minister to us and to help us in righteous activities. John 16:13. This is Jesus talking. "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears from God the Father and God the Son, see? For whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." God does not need folks who own many things to do righteous things. God provides his leadership and reveals his priorities. Luke 1:51 through 53 says it like this. "God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty." Isaiah explains that idea like this. "If you extend your soul to the hungry and supply the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in a drought, and strengthen your bones. You shall be a watered garden like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall gut the old waste places. You shall," maybe we should say rebuild, that's another translation of that idea. "Those from among you shall rebuild the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach. If there's a hole in the wall, you're going to be the fixer," Isaiah says. "The restorer of streets to dwell, the one who fixes the road so you can use it. The Bible clearly describes Jesus as the light of the world. Jesus explains that a light is not to be hid under a basket. For spiritual light to shine, the life has to be in the open and visible. That was the life of Jesus Christ. Why would our Heavenly Father choose to use people like us in His renewal of the earth? Why would God send His only Son to be the first among many brothers and sisters to restore a lost and fallen mankind? Because, here's the point, God desires to fulfill us through the righteous living, because righteousness brings renewal. When people see renewed life, that becomes a beacon showing that God's way is the way. Jesus Christ becomes very real through the lives of His people. Well, so how do all these things add up? Liberty, fulfillment, renewal. God calls you and calls me to leadership. He wants us to be the truth through our righteous example. Yes, we are sinful, and yes, our sin separates us from God. But God wants us to understand that He loves you and me as His very own creation, that He will have mercy on us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that He will enable us to be a light in this world for someone, somewhere, because of His hand working in our lives. Well, let's pray. Father, thank You that You give hope to all mankind and seek to have all people receive Your Son's atoning work on the cross. Thank You, Holy Spirit, that You desire to be in our lives, reaching out to others through the righteousness granted each of us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are coming to the end of our time together. Let's share the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, please receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Zion Lutheran Church invites you to liturgical worship. We use the familiar classic common service, which has been a choice of a variety of Lutheran church bodies for the last century. Got more time? Come to Sunday school at 9 a.m. Want midweek Bible study? Join us at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays for an hour of study and a time of prayer. Are you a lady? How about considering our monthly women's Bible study at 10 a.m.? Call Zion Lutheran Church for details at 251-945-5209. And men, think breakfast before work. Complimentary breakfast. Our Men's 710 Breakfast and Speaker Fellowship meets at 7:10 a.m. on the second Tuesday of the month. Zion is located a block off State Highway 104 at 15875 4th Avenue at 7th Street in beautiful Silver Hill, just across the street from Silver Hill School. Zion Lutheran Church is a congregation of the AFLC, the Association of Free Lutheran Congregations, the fourth largest Lutheran denomination in America. Specific information about Zion Lutheran Church can be obtained at www.lutheransinsilverhill.com or by calling 251-945-5209. 5209. Goodbye, and God bless you until we meet again.